again the opportunity before us to study the language of the New Testament, and we become more familiar with handling thy word and more equipped as we continue our Christian advance. We ask in Christ's name, amen. As usual, we'll go through the same general order of how we've been doing it all along, and that is, do you have any questions regarding the pronunciation of the alphabet? Anybody? No problem? That will be important starting tonight because I'm going to have you do some reading. It was suggested last week that one of the easiest ways for you to learn the language and to get the flow of how it goes is to read it. And so if you've learned your alphabet, we'll see what we can do with it. I've already heard one person reading, and he's doing quite well. So I guess you can blame it all on the one who suggested that we do some reading. And what I'm going to do is ask you just simply to read right where you sit, and I'll help you as we're going along. Realize that you're like a kindergarten student in starting, or at least starting to read. And so you're going to stumble over words, and then if you have any questions as we're going along with regard to the sound of those words, why, we'll answer those. Anything on the vocabulary? Learn those if you will. Okay, on the articles? Any question on the articles?
Well,
yes. Yeah, for now, the question has to do with whether or not the direction of the accent has anything to do with the... No, it does not. It has to do whether or not the next word has some characteristic. Okay? So it's immaterial. As far as accenting, it would be the same as if it was... See, one's called the acute, the other's called the grave, as far as accent identification. But in pronunciation, it means nothing, and grammatically, it means nothing, other than the fact that when you have the next word that follows it starting or having something characteristic about it, they use the two accents. Okay? And as far as you're concerned, it's really not going to mean anything, because I doubt if we'll even go into that, because it's not going to change your ability to exegete a passage. It will not move. In other words, if the accent belongs over a particular letter, whether it be acute or grave, it'll always be over that letter. Okay? No, this is that's correct. There was a question regarding the diphthongs. Did I give you all the diphthongs? I did not. And this was just to give you an idea. We've got a lot more, and we'll be getting to those as we're going along. Okay? Yeah.
In the sheet that we did, I found a few, I guess, if not several, of the endings on the noun and the article that did not agree.
Okay.
I think we talked about that, right?
Right.
After the article takes precedence?
The article takes precedence as far as gender. And then, of course, the noun simply tells you what declension it's in, okay? And if it differs, then it would indicate that it's in a different declension, but it would decline according to that, as would the article according to its own paradigm. That's good. Or a question mark, if you'd have a question on it. Yeah, that's fine. We'll cover that. I'm going to go over that part this evening anyway, because that was a part of your assignment, right? Yeah, what I'm going to do is usually take the first half hour for the assignment and then the last half hour for something new. Okay, anything again on the articles other than that? And I enjoy it. As a matter of fact, I desire to entertain questions, because then I feel that you're doing some looking at least at this thing and you're wondering what it's all about. Okay, how about the... second declension nouns. By the way, these The paradigm that you have on the second declension nouns, all right, that's the only paradigm for second declension. The first declension will have at least four classifications. We'll see those later. And that's why I picked these, because there's only one. What do you call the main part of the word to which these endings are added? Or the stem? I like to use the word root because it's more English-oriented. But it's basically the stem. For example, in the word... I keep using the same one. All right, let's use the word... No, that's a verb. And that would be the stem. Cause. Okay? Excuse me. Cosm. Kappa Omicron Sigma Mi. And then to make it nominative, it's simply cosmos, the world. And then cosmu would be of the world or belonging to the world. Cause is that correct? Is that the plural? Oh, that's right. Okay? Oh, there's no circumflex, is there? There is. Well, I didn't give you that, did I? I didn't put that in there. Whoa, I should have done that. Okay. You might want to do that on your chart that I gave you. Okay, that would be what? To the world. Hmm? For instance, God gave the world his son. Okay? God gave the world his son. Okay? God is the subject. God gave what? He didn't give the world. He gave his son. All right? What case is this? His. Du. Possessive. Yeah, be genitive. Yeah. So, ο Θεός έδωκεν, okay, το κόσμο του Ιού αυτού, is the way you'd write it. The son of his. There is no accusative here. Here the genitive becomes the object of the verb. Okay? God gave son. But here you have the possessive. So this would be spelt OS. This would be spelt... Right? That would tell you it's dative. That's the case of the indirect object. And this would be spelt U. U. Then, of course, the personal pronoun. The son of his. So this would be... To EU, this is not correct, I'm just putting it down that way, aftu. But you would translate it, God gave his son. You'd leave out the article, you wouldn't say the son belonging to him. But that's actually what it's saying. Okay, and then of course the direct object would be cause... Mon. Then if you look over on the plurals, cosmi, cosmon, cosmis, cosmus, and cosme. Evocative. Evocatives you won't find that often, so I just put them in there. You'll deal primarily with nominative, genitive, dative, accusative. You come across evocative, it'll be so obvious. Okay, any question on the second declension terminants? All right, remember that, and this is a rule that you're going to have to lock in. Some of you had problem with it, and for what it's worth, that means you're falling right in line with what normal students do in every Greek class I've ever been a part of, and that is the first thing they want to pick up on is the rhyming concept, and so they want the article to rhyme with the noun. Only problem is it's fine. It would rhyme. You see, it'll rhyme if the article goes along with the second declension. There you'll have a perfect rhyme. You won't have any problem with that at all. As long as the declension, for example, is in the os stage, then the nominative, genitive, accusative, and genitive will rhyme perfectly. Well, your problem is where you come up with a masculine noun used in the first declension, which is normally feminine, but it will decline just as it was, as if it was feminine. Only the article will tell you that it's not. In fact, it's masculine, because remember, the article determines the gender, not the conjugation. That is not the conjugation, not the declension. I forget the word conjugation. Verbs are conjugated. I want to get into verbs. It's just like the reporters that want to go into the land war here. But we're not ready for verbs. All right? So again, and if the noun, for instance, has an -es ending, which would normally be first declension, but the article is masculine, then the article follows the masculine paradigm, and the noun follows the declension that it's in, follows that paradigm. And since you don't have the first declension in front of you, it's kind of hard to visualize it, but just believe me, that's the way it works out. So if you have, like you suggested, you had an article, right, in the masculine, and yet it wasn't second declension. Is that what you said, Mark? You assume. Okay, but what I'm saying is, if it's not on the second declension, then it must be either in the first or the third. Therefore, it would decline according to its declension rather than its gender. Okay. That's all.
I can still identify the article. I mean, I can do the
gender. Exactly, and that's what I expected you to do, is really pick out the article and then any other words that you could, in fact, identify. And so with that, then, let's get into that. All right, what did I give you? John 1:28? What did we have last week? What passage did I give you? What was it? Oh, that's right. It was 1 John 1:1-10, and 2-11, and then 2:1-11. Oh, that's why you said it looked like the same thing. It was the same thing. Okay. Yeah. 1 John 2. Right, okay. So it's 1 John 2, right?
1 John 1.
Oh.
1, verse 8.
Beginning at verse 8, okay. Okay. Beginning at verse 8, no articles in that first line, those three words there. Okay. Now going down the second line, there is an article, e, which is feminine, nominative, singular, and then aletheia. Now, this new sheet that I gave you, I put double spaces in there for a purpose, because when we get to it, when we come to certain words, I'm going to have you write the English translation, and that will be a part of your vocabulary. Okay? In addition to the fact, since Nancy wasn't here before, we're going to read this evening, and we're going to do so out loud. Hey, we'll try it. All right, going to verse 9. If we confess, all right, tas armatias, these sins, of ours. Now there you have a feminine genitive, okay, plural, and you have, it just so happens in this case, that the noun is in fact first declension. Genitive, isn't it? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Okay. All right. Hold the phone a minute. All right. And then, of course, the imon there, if you didn't know what the word meant, at least you could pick out the fact that it was genitive plural. Okay, these sins of ours. Okay? Now, look at the next word. Pistos. Now that's from pistis, but pistis, you see, is the word faith. This refers to a person. So how would you refer to a person who has faith? He'd be faithful. So that's how the Greeks did it. They simply made it a rather personal noun instead of just simply a noun which is general in a name of the thing. There's no article there, but you know at least it's what? It's nominative. And then dropping down to adikeas. Excuse me, adikos. Okay? That's that. You also opt for something that was nominative. Then moving along, again you have tas armatias. Okay? That's first declension, by the way. And it is accusative plural. Now look at the word katherizi. See the subscript? It's either one of two things. If it's a noun, what would it be? Not with a subscript. It'd be dative. If it's a verb, it'd be subjunctive. Remember I told you the subscript is generally used only in the dative and the and generally. Okay. And moving on, let's see, any more articles in that whole works? Yes. Verse 10, the last line, begins with afton. Okay? Remember that's a personal pronoun. What is it? What case is it in? And put your finger over the first two letters and you got it. It's accusative, masculine, singular. And then ke o logos, there it's quite obvious. You have the article plus the noun on the second declension, so it's the word. Then aftu, that's the same personal pronoun as we had before, only now it's in the genitive. Okay? And then going on, isten, en, imin. En always takes the what? The dative. So there you know that's... See, there's a little clue there too. See the circumflex? Okay. Now if you will, take the new sheets, because that's where this one ends. And the new sheets... Now you didn't get one, did you, Nance? Okay? I ran off the first, oh, you didn't get one either? The first 13 verses of 1 John 2, and I put spaces in there. I double spaced them because what I'd like to do is write some vocabulary words, and that way you can learn them. Okay, verse 1. Now, there isn't an article in the whole thing. Yes, there is. There it is. Okay, let's just look at the verse together, and I'll read it for you, and then I'll go slowly and we'll translate. All right. Technia, okay? That's from techna, and it's child. In this case, it is plural, so it's children. Mu is a personal pronoun in the genitive, so translate it. My children. Okay? My children. Technia mu. Now, taf, alpha, ypsilon, taf, alpha. Remember we said the diphthong is when the breathing mark, okay, is over the second, what? Vowel. In this case, it's the circumflex, so it's not a breathing mark. Therefore, it has the sound as it appears, as in au. Except in this case, it becomes ta. All right? In modern Greek, it's tuta. Okay, in this case, and it may be back then. I don't really know the rule, but it would be it would not be tafta, okay, or tavta, as it would be in the diphthong sense, because it's not a diphthong. How do I know that? There's no breathing mark over the second vowel. What you have is a circumflex, and see, the circumflex is telling you something there. What is it actually saying? In effect, look. Here's what you have. It's like saying, if this were there, this is taking it out of the way. Get the idea? Now, there are times when you have this plus this. That's a different story altogether. In that case, it would mean that's a clue more or less to tell you, especially later on when we're studying verbs, that there has been some kind of an internal change within the structure of the word. Greeks used accents uniquely. They were trying to give you clues as you went along if you weren't knowledgeable in the language. Circumflex should immediately, you kind of look and say, why is that there? Well, I'm just going to use my pronunciation, tuta, okay? These things. Children, my little children, or my children, these things, here's a vocabulary word, grafo. Translated, I write. It's a verb. Okay, now look up here a minute. I'm just going to show you how the verbs work so you can get an idea. All right? Same as they did in the nouns, only this time you have a different, obviously, a different paradigm. Okay, here's your terminant. Therefore, the stem is what? Raf. Simple enough. All right, it's O, E, Is, and then we have Omen, Eta, Usin. For instance, if I said Rafomen, that's we write. Grafo, I write. Grafi, he, she, or it writes. Grafis, you write. Grafete, you all are writing. Grafusen, they are writing. That's the way you would say it. But you notice graf is in there each time. Same as you did in the nouns, only now you have a different paradigm. The verbs get very complicated because you start off with that's only in the present active indicative form. Then you go present passive indicative, whole new set of paradigms. Okay? Then you have present active indicative, first person singular, second person singular, third person singular. That's fine. That's what I gave you before. Then plural, plural, plural. So there are six there. Then the minute you move, you change the voice to passive, you got six more now. Okay? If you go to middle, you have six more now. And you're still only in the present indicative. Then you go present imperative. Now you have six more with all the rest of the mood changes. And don't think it's monumental, because I can look at almost any word and tell you what it is. Just because after a while, you just get so used to it. Just jumps right out. Paradigm may be that big, but it really doesn't scare you that much. Originally, I passed out those sheets, you know, the one that you unroll like a scroll, and they passed away like the clouds. Boy, that really scared them. They thought they were going to have to memorize every single one of those things. Well, in effect, you do, but you do over a long period of time. Okay. But that's the way you'd break down. See, now, going to the next line, parakliton, you see that? Next one, echomen. All right, that's from echo. Now, here's the way it would look if it was in the dictionary. All right? Echo, translated, I have. See, because it's first person singular. First person singular, I. Second person singular, you. You, singular. Second person plural is you all. Y'all. And see, we don't have that in English, unless you're from the South. In English, you have you singular, you plural. It's terrible. You who? Me or all of us? See, in Greek, you'd say you or y'all. Get the idea? Okay. So, echo, meaning I have. So you see, this is expressed, so it doesn't have to be expressed within the sentence. Now, if you ever see this, echo, echo, okay, echo is I. And I again, echo, echo, I. What do you suppose this then becomes? It becomes an emphatic. It means that the writer is excited and he's really trying to show emphasis. See, the best we can do it in English, say, I have. Or we change the pitch of our voice. I have. Like, excuse me, see? Greeks don't have to do that. They can do it grammatically. This is the emphatic form. And when you have this with it, because it's, see, it's expressed right here. I have. Echo. Echo, echo. I have. In other words, it's like saying, I really have. See it? Okay. I just thought I'd throw that in to give you an idea of how words, even though they're within the structure. In this case, echo men, we have. Okay, I want you to go back to, let's see, where were we? Grafo. Now, these things I write to you, and it's plural, so it's to you all. T'y'all. That, ina. You'll hear those that pronounce it rather strange. They say hina. It's ina. Me, armatite, from armatia. That's A-M-A-R-T-I-A. Alpha, mi, alpha, rho, taf, iota, alpha, sin. In this case, sins. My children, these things I write to you that you don't sin. Continuing. Ke and ian. What's that? If, and it's what class? It's third class, because that's a subjunctive. Now that you're used to... See, I think you get a better appreciation, you know, after the years I've been writing this. Remember, there are four classes of the Greek word if. Here you have e, and if you look at the noun, you will see that the... if you look at the noun, it will be in the indicative mood. So here you have e, you look at the next noun in the sentence. If it's in the indicative, it's first class condition. Okay? Then you have E, plus the indicative plus on. And that will appear very closely related to the E and the indicative mood noun that it is, in fact, connected with. This negates this. This is saying, if, yes. See, the indicative mood is what? It's the mood of reality. It's the mood of truth. So the verb will declare truth. Here, E, indicative, on, no, if, not true. That's how they did it. Then when they weren't sure whether it was going to go this way, indicative, or that way, negative, they simply took the E, dropped the iota, and added on. The verb will be in the subjunctive. And the subjunctive mood in the Greek language is either way. It can go either way. So the contingency then is if, maybe, you might. Matter of fact, you'll find that the subjunctive moods in Greek are generally translated, you might. So this is really a subjunctive. If you sin, I'm not saying you are, but I'm not saying you're not. If you happen to. Ke'ian, tis, whatever, sin. Parakliton. And that's from Parakletis. And that's advocate. Echomen, we have. We have an advocate. Pros, which is a preposition. Ton patera. Now there's a good one. Because now you have the accusative, masculine article, singular. But you have a rho alpha, which is what? It's obviously not what? It's not second declension, so it's either got to be first or third. It's first. Or third. Okay. Then, now the next string there, we don't have it. Yes. Ton. It's accusative. That's accusative, masculine, singular. So patera must be accusative, singular, masculine of some other declension, because it's not in our list of the second declension nouns. You see it? And that's the way you would identify. Look, if the article is masculine, singular, accusative, then the noun that follows it must be masculine, singular. But the question is, what declension is it in? See? Now, take the article for me back to its root, back to it, the accusative form, the nominative form. What would that be? Take the article back. What is it? Os. Right? Back to the nominative singular form. Os. Take patera back. You don't know what it is. That's my whole point. No, I'm sorry. O. Take patera back. Don't say os. All right. You see my point? Okay. Now, the next three words are, in fact, all what? They're all accusatives. Yesun. You say, but wait a minute, it's O-U-N or Omicron Ypsilon Ni. Well, you're going to see that Jesus, all right, is not second declension. But Christos is, in this case, Christon, and Diakeos, and there's another dictionary word I want you to put down. That's the accusative singular form from Diakeos, which is righteous. So the translation would read like this. Technia mu, my children. Τούτα γράφω εμήν ίνα μη αρματίτε. These things I write to you in order that you don't sin, or not to sin. Και εάν τις αρμάτι, in case we do sin, in the event that you do, παρακλητών έχομεν. We have an advocate, pros, in the presence of τον πατέρα, the Father, okay? Jesus Christ the righteous. Now let me ask you something. You see τον πατέρα, okay? Then you have Jesus Christ the righteous. Give me the antecedent of Jesus Christ the righteous. Exactly. Thank you. Don't opt for the previous use. You know why I say that? Well, yeah, but see, there's another one with the same ending, and that's τον πατέρα. Yeah, but there's a doctrine built around this. This is what they say. We have an advocate. We have an advocate in the presence of the Father, who is Jesus Christ, the righteous. And you have the fatherhood of Christ. Because it's right there. Look at it. That's accusative. You see why? Oh no, it wouldn't matter. No, it wouldn't matter. The point is, though, he's talking about that we have an advocate with the Father. Okay? Now, see, in English, we would put a comma in there. Jesus Christ the righteous. But the Greeks don't do that. Now, if we should sin, comma, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. The antecedent of Jesus Christ the righteous one is parakleton. All right. Right. We would say it in English this way. We would say, follow me, ke eantis armatia, and if we should sin, echomen pros ton patera parakliton eison Christon diakeon. That's what we'd say in English, but you don't have, see what happened here? You don't have to say it that way. Because the Greek would understand that what you have, you see, you can conceivably have sentences within sentences and not have what they call in English run-ons. Okay? Because a participle in itself could be actually translated as a sentence. We're not dealing with participles, though, but nevertheless, I just wanted to show you how that works. All right, so the vocabulary, oh, there's another vocabulary word there, patera. It's father. All right, two, verse two. Και αυτός, what case? Nominative. You see why? Ascending. Ελασμός, what case? Nominative. All right. Isten, there, by the way, is the emphatic form of is. Isten peri ton. Now we have the genitive what? How many say genitive plural? That's what it is. Come on, learn these things. Now you have a nice little rhyme all the way through. Ton armation imon. Okay? What would you think, in looking at that verse, is the key word there? Τον αρματία ημών, No. Illesmos, yeah, there's the key. That's the one you want to find out what that means, because everything revolves around that. It's the word for propitiation. Actually, it's translated mercy seat also. So this one is the propitiation regarding, peri, concerning our sins. And then, ou peri ton emeteron, not only ours, the monon alla, ke peri olu tu kosmu. Not only our sins, but all of the, interject, sins, even though it's not expressed, of the world. Okay, he is our propitiation, or he is the propitiation, and not for our sins, and not for our sins only, but Allah, concerning, peri, olu, everyone's. So what is this teaching you? Right there you have the whole doctrine of unlimited atonement from the Greek text. Yes. Where? Wait, what verse? Oh, okay. U peri ton. How? Why did I? Yeah, but see, if I know what that, look at the word e meteron. See that one? The next word. All right. What do I know about that word? Not much. The genitive plural ending, exactly. So how would I determine whether that was masculine, feminine, or neuter? I have to look it up in the dictionary. And I just happen to know it's imeteron. Okay? No, that's the only way you'd know. If it's the same all the way across, then you'd have to say it could either be masculine, feminine, or neuter, because remember, the genitive plural are all spelt the same. So you'd have to go to a dictionary, look up that word, and you'd see it listed, right? And the next letter after it would be the article. I wish you had your dictionaries with you, you'd see that. Okay? Well, you could look it up. And it would not be imeteron, because that's the genitive plural. So you'd have to look up what? Imeteri, imeteris, something like that. Okay? If you looked up the word. Because you want to go back to its nominative form. Okay? Or imeteros. Now you may find out it's a masculine second declension word. Look it up. Well, where are you? The third line of verse. Okay. Peri ton armation imon. Well, I know that that word is from armatias, which is first declension feminine. Exactly. I thought you were fighting with ton imeteron.
Well, I was after a while. But
yeah. Well, see, you'd have to look it up in a dictionary. You'd have to look up E-M-E-T-E-R, all right, and then see what the ending is. Ita mi epsilon taf, epsilon rho, and then whatever the ending is. Did you find it yet? Yes. from the Eta class. I know what he's doing. He's doing that so we don't have to read. Now, I'm going to give you an easy one. I'm not going to... You find it?
No.
Have you found Eta?
No.
Oh, it's Alpha, Vita, Gamma, Delta, Epsilon, Eta. See, that means you didn't memorize the alphabet yet. Iota, Kappa, Lambda, Mi, Nixi, Rho, Tau, Omicron, Sigma, and so on. Come on, guys. I just mixed it up, but it's Omicron, Sigma, Tau. You found Eta yet?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just curious. Eta, Mi, Epsilon, Tau, Epsilon, Rho. E-M-E-T-E-R. Is it os? Is it os? All right. Then. Which means it's an adjective. Huh? It says our translated. H-O-U-R. Oh, okay. E meteros, is that it?
Yeah.
And then it has E metera,
yeah.
Right? And E meteri? No.
On.
Okay. Yeah, that would, it's omicron ni, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That tells you it's an adjective. There's no article there, so it's not a noun. Okay. So you see, articles can precede what? Exactly. So you're learning something. All right, Carl, do me a favor. You know all this stuff. Drop down to verse 9 and read me the first 5 words out loud. Legon. Yeah, see where the accent is? Legon. Okay. Oh, legon. Forti, that's good. Okay. Ine. Okay. Ke. Okay. Adelphon. No, it's Adelphon. You were right. Mison. N. T. No. Okay. Now, EOS. Yeah, see, it's E-O-S. EOS. Arti. Good. You hear it? I suspect that you could read before, couldn't you? No? Wonderful. All right, Mark. Verse 10. Yeah. Good. Good. Care. Scan. Dal. On. Yeah. What's the word there? Scandal. Exactly. Scandalia, scandolio, okay. N? Good. Estin. Right. It's like hit. Not in. Estin. Okay. Oh, these are easy. Why don't you try the next one? Nance? Yeah. Easton. Easton. That's a long E, okay? I'm sorry, Easton, you're right. Easton, care? Yeah, what's that word? Peripate, from peripateo, to walk, yeah. Pu, yeah. Pu, by the way, is where? Puise, where are you? Okay, go ahead. Ipahi. Yeah, Puipahi. Where he originated, came from. Does anybody have an English text in front of them? Ode ke uk oden, and it did not know Puipahin, and didn't know where it came from. That's the way I translated verse 11. Where he originated. 1 John 2, verse 11. Oh, okay. And knoweth not whither he goeth. That's King James. Whether or not whether he goeth. Woo. All right. Philip, begin with Oti. Oh, that's a rough one. Eti flossin. Now, it's etiflosen. You see the accent on the the epsilon? Tus. Af. Excuse me. Of. Of. Thou. Mus. From what? Afthema. Afthalma. Yeah, the eyes. Aftu. Yeah, there's, see the accent over the, that's a diphthong. Okay. 12, you want to try it, Glenn? That's a capital. It's a Rama, Graf. E min. Now, I have a problem there because I don't know what that letter is. So go to the next one. It's been punched out. All right. Amen. Eh. Eh is the way I do it. Okay. Amarti. Eh. Dia. To. O. No. Ma. Aftu, okay. To onama aftu is his name. Okay? Preston, 13? Patiris. Pateres. Okay, you get okay. Kate. Can you tell me by looking at that what it must be close to? Egno. Sure, from knowledge. Right? From gnosis. Okay, go ahead. Don up. You see that, by the way, with the breathing mark after it? The reason for that is because the next letter of the next word begins with a vowel with a smooth breathing. That should be from apo. Okay? That is from apo. So op is the contracted form of apo. Okay, go ahead. No, arhis. Yeah, what's arhis? Beginning. Yeah. Keep going. Imin. Me. Imin. Okay. The rest of those words are not easy to pronounce. Let me take you up. Let's see, Jan, try... Oh, you don't, okay. All right, you're doing it. See? Isn't that nice? Keep reading. And you're sounding good. Now, here's what I'd like you to do with this sheet. Identify them again as you did. And then now you have some space. I did want to get some time. Well, I can run over these real fast. First line, grafo, I write. Okay? Second line, echomen, we have. We have. Proston patera, father. Second verse, ke aftos ilasmos, that's propitiation. Ilasmos. I'm going to try to give you just the nominative forms if I can. Which would be nice if they were that way. Okay, verse 3. Ke en tuto ginoskomen. We know. That is, we have knowledge of. Keep going across that same line from ginoskomen, ote egonoskamen. That's, by the way, perfect. See the kapai in there? That's a clue that it's perfect tense. Afton ian, now, tas entolas, the commandments. Verse 4, ke legon, from lego, I speak or I say. Das entolas aftu mi deron. All right, next word. Psephtis, false or liar. Theftis. Verse 4, the word under the second line, first word. See it? There's a diphthong, by the way. Psef. Psephtis. Okay? Psephtis. If somebody comes in and tells you a lie or misrepresents, like Saddam Hussein, he's a psefti. It's where we get our English word pseudo from. See what we've done with it? We'd say P-S-E-U-D-O. See? Get it? But it's psefti. Isten ke en tuto. All right. E alithia, the truth. Ok isten is not in him. See, that's the idea. Okay, that's good enough. Learn those. I don't see any others here that I think would be outstanding. Verse 7, the first one. Agapiti, okay, beloved ones, from agapi, which is love, right? But this time, notice what you've done with it. He's made it personal, and plural, and nominative. See it? So it's nominative singular from agapi. Now agapi is by itself e agapi. So what he did here, not he, the Greeks, they simply agapiti, they grabbed the declension from the second and made it, and this would be translated, beloved ones. So it would include both male and female. Sneaky way of doing it, using a feminine noun to describe more than one person. Got it? Agapiti is the way you pronounce it. If I was talking to all of you, I would say, agapiti, beloved ones. Now, if I said, e agapi, that's a specific person. Agapi mu, without the article, could apply to both a male or a female. Why? Because it may be first declension, but if you don't put the article in, it could go either way, because you don't know what gender it is. Now, sometimes it changes, like in the case of Adelphi, which is sister, and Adelphos, which is brother. It'd be E Adelphi or Adelphos. There, Adelph is the stem. You have a question? Where's the neuter? Yeah, it's just he's using the second declension. Ending. See, there is no E ending in the way Agapi would normally decline. You see what I'm saying? So to make it plural, that's the way they pluralize. Like, for example, anthropos. If I said anthropos, it's almost always referring to a male. But if I said anthropi, same word, except they have the omicron epsilon at the end, making it plural, that's the word for people. You see? So I would say, you are anthropi, but you are an anthropos. See, get the idea? I would never refer to her as an anthropos. Never. But if I said anthropi, I'm talking about mankind, people in general, both male and female. So that's what it did. They took the E ending of agapi and they made it agapiti. And it's also an address. When people get up and they say, agapiti kiri kikirimu, beloved ladies and gentlemen, kiri kikirios. Kiri here, and kirios. And kirios, by the way, is also for Lord. It's also master, but it can be.